7th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to Spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month, and you may see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during this program, email Spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is Deanna@Spingola.com, but I never look at that email during the program. And I never look at the other one after the program. So RBN is obviously, as you know, trying to raise funds, and they're having a pledge drive. And I hope that all of our listeners will consider contributing to the pledge drive or making some other contribution by buying things from the RBN website, such as business cards or bumper stickers. And you may also subscribe to the archives or purchase some advertising if you have a product or service to sell. You can do all of that at republicbroadcasting.org. Today, our guest is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is nazigassings.com, which is not actually working at this moment, but I did find a version of it in the Wayback Machine, and so I have linked that on the radio schedule page. Fritz, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope you can hear me all right.
Okay, now we can.
Okay, good.
Good. Okay, so your website is down. It's been down for, what, 10 days?
About that. And it's only because I've gotten a great deal of activity of late, and I really have to increase my bandwidth, which costs me some money, and I'm a little tight for the moment, so I won't be expanding the bandwidth. But it's an indication that the website is being visited quite intensely these days, and I think that's because of my challenge to all Holocaust survivors. I can't be absolutely sure that that's it, but I have challenged at least 200 so-called Holocaust survivors to debate me, and none of them have responded directly. I get a few threats on my life and so forth, but...
Wait, you've had threats on your life?
Oh, sure.
But nobody wants to debate you?
Right. Oh, sure.
My goodness. Have these come from directly from Holocaust survivors?
I don't know. I don't know who these people are. They don't leave a proper name and address.
Gosh, I wonder why.
Yeah, but now, that's to be expected. That's the kind of world we're in.
Now, do they email you with their threats?
Yes, I have the emails on file.
Oh, maybe we could give some out.
Well, yeah, that's possible. But it doesn't mean much. You know, people do that sort of thing all the time. And, you can even see some of these responses on the YouTube videos where these survivors talk about their supposed experiences. Which brings up another topic, if we may get to that, and that is Holocaust survivor testimony.
Right. Which is worth about as much as a testimony that they beat out of the guards at Nuremberg.
Well, actually, I find it rather useful because in the testimony, and we have a prime example of Magda Brown,
Fritz, hang on to that thought. We do have to take a quick break. And there seems to be a tick in your phone line.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, you know, why.
I don't know
anyway,
either.
We'll be back in 3 minutes.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg, and his website is NaziGassings.com. It is not currently up, but if you go to the radio schedule page, I have it linked under today's date, and it's called Wayback Machine. So we can get the it was a version that was viable back in July of last year. But it's got some pretty good stuff on it. Okay, Fritz, you were talking about Magda Brown.
Right. I think the Magda Brown story is very useful. I disagree with what you said a moment ago about these Holocaust survivor accounts not being useful. They actually are, but one has to be very careful and critical of the testimony. There are essentially two parts to all of these so-called Holocaust survivor stories. The one part is the part they tend to downplay and gloss over, which is their own personal experience. Instead, they pile on with the standard Holocaust propaganda about things that they did not actually see themselves, such as gassings or the shower room or the clothing room next to the gas chamber. They never saw those things during the war, but they love to talk about those things as if they were personal witnesses, eyewitnesses to those things. And it's a very dishonest kind of presentation that they usually give. Magda Brown should be ashamed of herself for the kind of propaganda she puts out in public schools to children. She basically gives the standard propaganda line. But when you look for her actual experiences, something very, very different emerges. Magda Brown was, as I recall, and anyone can check this from her YouTube video, a Hungarian Jewess who was transported to Auschwitz in, I think, July of 1944. And she was separated from her family, and she was convinced sometime or other that they were all killed. But she survived, and she was hanging around there in the barracks at the Auschwitz, kind of wondering, I suppose, what to do with herself. And a month later, she went in a lineup to be selected for work. Okay, she says that. And she was selected for work, and she was sent into Germany to work in an ammunition factory where she worked until almost the very end of the war. In other words, she volunteered to go to work in Germany from a barracks somewhere in Auschwitz, probably Birkenau, and she was actually making ammunition for the German war effort. And she claimed that she never got paid for that, but I'm quite sure she did get paid. I'm sure she's simply lying in that regard. She was paid for her work, and she had to worry about, you know, the Allies finding her little factory or a big factory, whatever it was, near Weimar, I think she said, where she was helping the Germans defend themselves against the Russians and the Americans and the Brits. Now, she doesn't like to talk too much about that, I'm sure, but it's part of her story. That is the important and, I think, truthful part of her story, and that is the kind of information one can get from practically all of the Holocaust survivors, including Elie Wiesel. They were actually working for the German war effort at some point or other, volunteering to do more of this work, and if we can prove it eventually, they were getting paid for their work. The great danger to them during this period was not that the Germans would stuff them into gas chambers, but that the Allies might find the location of their little factory and blow it to smithereens, in which case they would have been killed. And that certainly was a real danger that all these people faced. But it was not a danger from the Germans, it was a danger from the Allies, from the British and the Americans especially. There are these stories about so-called death marches, for example, and Magda Braun and Elie Wiesel may well have made some of these death marches. And the impression that's given is that the Germans, for some crazy reason or another, put these people on these death marches as if they were trying to kill these people by marching them to death. The reality is these marches occurred as part of the evacuations of Jews and others from places that the Russians were about to take over. And Elie Wiesel was on one of these so-called death marches. He went, as I understand it, as I recall, to Gliwice, where there was a railroad station, and then he boarded a train with his father, and shortly thereafter he was in Buchenwald and kind of hanging around until the very end of the war. I suspect he was doing work for the German war effort, maybe just polishing shell casings or whatever, very menial work, but he did some work, I'm quite sure, but he doesn't like to talk about that. He doesn't want to admit that he and others were actually contributing to the German war effort and helping kill off Americans and Brits and Russians and other people who were trying to destroy Germany. That's not a convenient part of his story. But that is the truth, and that is what one can make out when one looks at his and other Holocaust survivor stories carefully and critically. What else do I want to say here? Okay, go ahead.
Last July, I heard Magda Braun over at my local library. My friend and I went and listened to her, and it was quite a large group of people. And I did invite her back in December to debate you on my program. And they said that they couldn't do that. They said, we unfortunately will not be able to schedule Magda for your requested radio program. Again, we appreciate you thinking of us and reaching out to us. But IHMEC stands firm on the fact that one should never debate or fight deniers. As such, we would never put a survivor in such a position. If I may, it all starts from an illogical premise. Holocaust denial or genocide denial is prejudice. If you think about the etymology, prejudge, don't confuse me with the facts. I've made up my mind. So if you try to argue with a person who is committed to a completely illogical premise, then you've lost to begin with. You're already sucked into their world of fantasy. Holocaust deniers want to debate the very existence of the Holocaust as a historical event. They want, above all, to be seen as legitimate scholars arguing a historical point. They crave attention, a public platform to air what they refer to as the other side of the issue. Because legitimate scholars do not doubt that the Holocaust happened, such assertions play no role in historical debates. Although deniers insist that the idea of the Holocaust as a myth is a reasonable topic of debate, it is clear, in light of the overwhelming weight of evidence that the Holocaust happened, that the debate the deniers proffer is more about anti-Semitism and hate politics than it is about history. And then Kelly, the lady who wrote me the letter, says, I hope this gives you some guidance.
Well, that's what one can expect. These people are rather carefully coached and prepared for likely eventualities, such as a challenge from a Holocaust denier. Elie Wiesel, for example, will never accept questions from an audience, you know, openly. All the questions that he even considers have to be on little index cards and submitted in advance, and then those are all carefully screened before he deigns to answer any of the questions at all. This is a very carefully orchestrated hoax, and the hoax is continuing to this very day, and Magda Brown is a hoaxer. So is, so are any number of literally thousands of Holocaust survivors who are recruited to spread Holocaust propaganda. If they would simply talk about their own personal experiences, things they actually saw and experienced during the war, the Holocaust myth would be over very, very quickly. And that applies to Elie Wiesel as well. When one separates things Elie Wiesel actually says about himself from the general propaganda that he's expected to support, you see a very different picture. He and his father both chose, by his own words, by his own admission, in Night, his most famous book, to go west with the retreating Nazis and SS and Germans as they abandoned Auschwitz. Okay, why would he do that if those very same Germans, SS, and Nazis had been murdering millions of Jews up to that time? It makes no sense. You have to engage in a kind of double, triple thinking that they expect everybody to go into in order to, you know, go along with the myth. And that's essentially what is going on.
And you indicated that Elie Wiesel wouldn't always just takes questions that are on 3x5s. And basically, we were not really allowed to ask any questions, although she opened it for questions. The minute a negative question was raised, the rest of the audience, this group of people, silenced themselves. I mean, they're the ones that kind of attacked the gentleman that asked the question, because they could, and because that's the way that people feel and think. All right, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is usually NaziGassings.com. I do have a Wayback Machine version of it linked to the website today, the radio schedule page on today's date. Now, you were talking about these stories, that most of them are basically not about their own personal experience, but they seem to be adopting the stories of others. Or they're adopting most of the stories, which seem to emanate from really 2 dozen sources. Now, do you think that these people are lying? Are they? Do you think they're?
Well, it's a combination of several things. They were, I think, in most cases, in Auschwitz and other camps, and so they have some credibility. They never saw anybody being sent to a gas chamber or being killed in a gas chamber or, you know, turning in their laundry to get naked before entering a gas chamber. They never saw any of that. But they used the fact that they were in, let's say, Auschwitz to give credibility to this hokey part of their story, this absolute lie. You know, they can always say, well, I was there. Where were you? When were you ever there? You know, and that's sort of a standard argument. I was in Vietnam, therefore I know all about Vietnam. Bullshit. You know, that's...
We're not supposed to say those kind of words.
Okay, I'll avoid that. I'm sorry, but it's an appropriate word for what goes on. Anyway, I apologize for using such a terrible, terrible word.
That's okay.
But, you know, this is the way propaganda is made. You know, a person was in Auschwitz and treated very well, but he is used to make atrocious propaganda about those evil Nazis and SS and Joseph Mengele and so forth. Mengele, by the way, was a perfectly decent doctor. There was nothing wrong with him. I'm sure he made no atrocious experiments or did any atrocious medical procedures at any time ever. He was a very decent, noble person of the highest caliber one could imagine. But
now, where did that story about all of his experimentation come from? Did that
it's
come
pure
from
fantasy. Him? There are no medical records whatsoever showing that he did anything atrocious. There's not one shred of documentary evidence to show that he ever did anything atrocious. You know, this whole story that the evidence about Mengele is overwhelming is pure rubbish. This is just another part of the big hoax. They have not found anything, and yet they have mountains of documents from Auschwitz which are still there in the museum at Auschwitz, but they have nothing to show that he did any kind of an atrocious procedure. He did a certain amount of medical research going back to his days as a medical student to examine twins for certain genetic features, and he had he himself had a gap in his front teeth. I forget the term that's used normally to describe that, and he was a bit shy about that, I think. He was a very handsome man generally, but he had this separation in his front teeth, and that has a lengthy history in medical research because it was clearly a genetic defect, and he studied twins to see what he could learn about the origin or causes of this genetic defect. And that involved visual inspection and perhaps some blood samples of these twins, but that's it. You know, there was no surgery involved. And these claims, there's sisters, Eva Kaur and her sister, who have really made a very big career out of defaming Mengele. They claimed he gave them all kinds of injections. I've actually interviewed her on a radio program, and she's embellished ordinary medical procedures to keep her alive to make them into something atrocious. No doubt blood samples were taken from her and many, many other people, but that is nothing atrocious. That's just part of good medicine, and that's what one tried to practice in Auschwitz with the aid of Jewish doctors as well. Jewish doctors who were at Auschwitz were routinely employed to try to keep people alive and healthy in Auschwitz, and I'm sure they worked with Mengele every day. But that is, of course, twisted by the propaganda into something that it simply was not.
Now, did a lot of that come from the novel Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Account by Knight Isley?
Well, some of it may. I can't recall too much of the book at the moment. I've read the book, and I certainly focus my attention on the gas chamber claims that Naisley made. Some of it may come from that, but I think it came from other places as well. The name Mengele sounds terrible. That was a big problem for Mengele.
Well, does it sound terrible now, or did it sound terrible before? I mean, which came
I think
first?
It sounds in English, it sounds terrible. It sounds like a person who would mangle other people.
Oh, I got it. Okay. All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg, and his website is NaziGuessings.com, which is down temporarily. It should be back when? About the first?
I thought it would be back up today, but obviously it hasn't come back yet. I'll have to get in touch with the ISP to see what's wrong. They promised me that it would have been up by yesterday already. So.
Huh. I wonder if what you've been doing, your activism lately, has anything to do with it being down in addition to your bandwidth issue.
I don't know. I don't know at this point. I wouldn't be surprised. There is a kind of internet war going on. A number of other people are having problems as well. So we may see things like that happen, but the internet is very flexible, and one way or another, my website will come back on and we'll reach out to people. Let me say one thing more about experimentation. There was a certain amount of experimentation in the German concentration camps, medical experimentation, but it was nothing like the atrocious experimentation that's alleged. Experiments were made to try to keep people alive in order to protect them from typhus, develop better typhus vaccines and procedures for protecting people. That was done. There were also experiments done in Dachau, for example, related to the war effort, high-altitude experiments to simulate what a pilot would undergo as he bailed out from his plane at, let's say, 30,000 feet. and where he would undergo very sudden decompression and the lack of air or oxygen and so forth. So there were various medical experiments, but the life-threatening experiments or experiments that could be fatal were made by volunteers, by people who were under death sentence for one reason or another. People, you know, a Russian prisoner or any inmate who was under a death sentence for, let's say, killing another prisoner or killing a guard or something like that, could volunteer for these dangerous experiments with the condition that if he survived the experiment, his death sentence would be commuted. And this was a routine procedure, and this allowed many of these prisoners to escape their death sentence, survive, and help do some very important scientific medical research. To my knowledge, none of these experimentees actually died in these experiments. For example, there were low-temperature experiments to try to determine what would happen to a pilot if he had to bail out and sink into the ocean in the North Sea when the temperatures were below freezing, let's say. How long could anyone expect to survive in that? And in this way, one would know that, you know, if a pilot bailed out an hour ago, it's probably not worth trying to rescue him. He's probably dead. So experiments like that were done, but the experimentees were thoroughly monitored, their heartbeat, their pulse, breathing, and vital signs were all monitored throughout these experiments in order to try to terminate any of these experiments before the experimentee died. And to my knowledge, no one actually died in any of these experiments. There are some photographs showing experimentees who were unconscious. For example, there are some famous pictures of a guy in a parachute harness, and he's slumped over. He's unconscious, but he's not dead. And he, in fact, he recovers and regains his consciousness later on and survives. Now, that footage and the pictures of his experiment are shown together with pictures of people who had just been autopsied, where the brain has been opened and one looks at the brain, and the impression is given, and this is another demonstration of the hoaxiness or the hoaxing process. They give the impression that this experimentee was killed somehow deliberately in order to perform an autopsy on him to see exactly what was going on during his death. And so the people responsible for the hoaxing are people at the highest levels of the American government and the British government and the Allied governments. They really are scoundrels, and it's about time we, you know, let the world know. Let me give you another example if we have the time. But, okay, ask your question first, perhaps, then.
So it wasn't like giving a few hundred people syphilis to see if they died, right?
No, I don't think so. But there may have been some situations where people were exposed to typhus and then, you know, treated for typhus. That's the kind of experiments one unfortunately has to make in order to answer important medical questions. I don't know of any syphilis-related experiments, but...
Well, I mean, that's what they did in this country without telling the people.
That's right. Yes, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, no, I don't see any... I've never seen any evidence that anything like that was done with the concentration camp inmates. I think the German standards were, even the Nazi standards, one might say, were much, much higher than what you had in the United States, even after World War II. You know, some of those syphilis experiments, I think, were actually made after World War II. Am I right?
I think they were like in the 1920s, early 1930s.
Okay. Well, there were some others after the war.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably with syphilis. Well, there were the radiation tests. American soldiers were exposed to nuclear radiation. And, you know.
Yeah, like everybody in Nevada.
But there were soldiers who were assigned specifically to be rather close to some of these bomb blasts.
Right.
And I don't know if they had any choice in the matter.
Right. And then there were all the Filipinos that were exposed to biological weapons just to see what happened with them, where they actually inoculated them with smallpox and things like that. But, you know, I guess it's a matter of projecting what you've done in the past and what you plan to do in the future on your enemy.
Right. Right. Well, we see some real horrible situations in Iraq today from the all the nuclear artillery shells and ammunition that was used in places like Fallujah. Apparently, there's a very high incidence of deformed babies in places like Fallujah today because of all the nuclear depleted uranium artillery shells and ammunition. So
right, and that is pandemic in all of Afghanistan. It's not just in one place.
Right.
I mean, when you think of Fallujah, you think of phosphorus because of the high use of phosphorus in that particular town. I mean, the pictures from Fallujah are just incredible. People are sick to use that kind of weapon on other people. And that is also what they used, what the Israelis used against the men on the USS Liberty, was phosphorus, white phosphorus.
Oh, okay. I heard napalm. Maybe they were both.
Both of them. Yeah, they used a bunch of stuff on those men.
Right. And we're not supposed to even know about that.
Oh, of course not. We're just supposed to concentrate on what the Nazis did.
Right. And
I wish we could use another word besides Nazis. I wish we could.
Well, that's the term that's used. I use it in writing, in quotation marks, if I get around to it usually. But I know the term already sounds sinister, and that's one of the reasons why it's been used. They were the idealists. They were national socialists. That's the proper term. They were nationalists, and they believed in socialism. And that's essentially what most Americans are as well. We have two national socialist political parties in America, the Republicans and the Democrats. They're both extremely nationalistic, and they both practice and espouse socialism to varying degrees.
It was a different... The national socialism they practiced in Germany was completely different. I mean, it was nationalistic, where I think most of the people in the Republican and Democratic Party are very internationalist. I mean, they're for free trade. They don't respect borders. They want to get rid of the borders. I don't see anybody in this country being nationalist at all. I believe that they are not necessarily socialist. I think they're a bunch of communists.
Well, it's a matter of degree. Americans are very quick to salute the American flag every day, several times a day if possible, and sing the national anthem and salute, do the Pledge of Allegiance. So those are...
That's Marxist, because, a socialist Marxist wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, and, we just do it by rote. I don't do it, but, people who do that are just basically saying that they owe allegiance to the state.
Well, okay, I don't... it's a matter of degree, but we do have some socialism in America, too. We have Social Security and Medicare and help for the indigent and protection for corporations and General Motors and Ford and what have you. That's socialism. So if they want to deny it, they can, but the reality is we have a lot of things going on in this country which are hallmarks of socialism. This is not a laissez-faire country. It hasn't been for quite a long time. So Americans should be much more cautious about condemning somebody else for living under socialism. We have it here, and both parties go along with it to a great extent. So anyway, I do want to stress the point that these Holocaust survivors' accounts, even with the kind of quackery that goes on, are important, and one should not simply dismiss those accounts because some of the stories or some parts of those stories are lies. Much of the information in those stories is, I think, accurate and actually undermines the Holocaust hoax in general, and that includes the stories of Elie Wiesel. But Magda Brown, any number of other people, have within their stories enough of the truth to make it rather obvious that the Holocaust story really is a hoax. Each of these Holocaust survivors' accounts that I've seen, anyway, actually undermines the Holocaust in general, because these are people who were in German custody, under German control, for many, many months, sometimes even years, during which time the Germans had countless opportunities to kill them if they really had wanted to kill every Jew in Europe and perhaps the entire world. If there were anything like that in the German plan, these people would have all been dead. But instead of being dead, they're alive, in many cases quite healthy and active, 60 and more years after the war. So each of these Holocaust survivors' accounts actually undermines the hoax in general, including Elie Wiesel. When one looks at his story critically,
that's the key, critically.
Right, that's the key. And, of course, they don't want that to happen. They don't want these people looked at critically. But some people, thankfully, are doing that, and that's progress. And there'll be more of that. The YouTube videos, the Facebook accounts are actually excellent. There's another area of wonderful evidence that has emerged on YouTube, and that is information about executions, gas chamber executions in the United States.
Yes, yes.
They blow the whole gas chamber, they blow the whole Nazi gas chamber claims out the window. You can see very quickly that most gas chamber executions in the United States, under ideal circumstances where you got wonderful technology and so forth, most gas chamber executions still take a long time to kill just one prisoner. And in fact, many executions take as long as 18 minutes. The last gas chamber execution in the world occurred in Arizona and Florence in 1999. It took 18 minutes to kill one person. There are, on the other hand, some gas chamber executions that go much quicker. Sometimes as little, they take as little as 5 minutes to kill one person. And as you can separate all the gas chamber executions into two categories, and they are the following. Gas chamber executions where the prisoner helped the execution process, and gas chamber executions where the prisoner resisted. That's an enormously important difference. If ideally the prisoner assists in his own execution by taking a deep breath, a very, very deep breath, just as the cyanide gas rises to his nose. Ideally, he would even exhale completely just before that point so that his lungs would be more or less empty just before he breathes in a full dose of cyanide. In such a case, the prisoner probably will die in 5 minutes. But very few prisoners actually want to assist in their own execution. It's very unlikely that Jews in any gas chamber would willingly assist in their own execution. They'd be fighting and screaming and doing everything possible to stay alive. The way one lengthens the process is fairly simple. One takes, instead of a deep breath, one takes only short breaths and holds one's breath as long as possible between inhalations. In that way, you can prolong the agony by like 15 minutes or longer. And that's what's done by many of these prisoners today. You sort of feel sorry for them, you know, because it doesn't help them much. It makes for a very painful, excruciating process. So excruciating that people who witness these executions, they freak out. A number of wardens just resigned after executions because they could never imagine doing it again. It is a horrible sight. And now many of these actual detailed accounts of executions are available on YouTube video. Years ago, 20 years ago, everybody, including me, sort of believed that the gas execution would be quick and almost painless. But this was a lie. This was another hoax that this society perpetrated.
Yes. How true. All righty. We do have to take a 3-minute break, and we will be right back. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Is Friedrich Paul Berg, and speaking of gas chambers, I have a video linked on today's date, and it is actually put out by the Barnes Review, and talks about Auschwitz, and it is very, very good. I can't remember how long it is, maybe 45 minutes, but it certainly goes into the logistics of killing in a gas chamber and shows you the diagram, the way that Auschwitz was set up. And it is so illogical, the way that they say that this happened. And they have a gentleman who claims to have been one of the guards there and that he helped to empty the chamber and all this stuff. And I mean, the whole thing is so preposterous.
Right.
If one looks at it.
Well, there are all kinds of things that are absolutely insane about the Holocaust story. One of the things is that they claim that the Jewish Jews who were marked for gassing walked rather casually to the gas chamber. And you can see in the so-called Auschwitz album pictures of Jews supposedly on the way to the gas chamber. Well, they're walking rather casually, as you or anyone might walk on the way to the supermarket. They're not restrained in handcuffs or with shackles or even with guards next to them. They're just, you know, oh, go down the street maybe 200 yards or 300 feet and go into that building and then, you know, go down the stairs and, of course, then they'll all be killed. But apparently these people were not at all afraid of anything like that. There was none of the kind, nothing even remotely close to the kind of restraint that is imposed on death row prisoners when they merely go to the bathroom, okay?
Yes.
You can see that in Guantanamo as well, when the prisoners have to go to a bathroom or leave their little cells, they're in handcuffs, their feet are shackled, and there are two Marine guards next to each of them, ready to kill them if they try to break away or, you know, act.
And yet we're supposed to believe that 2,000 people just marched willingly along without any guards, maybe two or three guards. And,
you don't even see the guards in those pictures at all. There's nothing to suggest there were even guards walking them down the road to the gas chambers. There were guards in some of the towers nearby, maybe, but not even that is clear. So it is just insane. And they get away with it because they have control over the media of this country. Anybody like me or you who tries to put out a different message has a tough time getting even into the front door of the studio to put out that message.
Now, I think
you're breaking ground. You're breaking ground every time you have me on your show.
Well, I think things are turning. I really do. I see more people are accepting the truth. More people are listening and are open to the truth. And I think that times are changing. I think that, I still think that the majority of the people probably believe in the Holocaust, as it's told officially. But I see some light here. All righty, we do have to take our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be back after a station ID.
Hey.
The next